thank Father Jim Prophet for inviting me to take part in this solemn liturgy, Good Friday, with you. As a Zimmer Bishop, brand new one here in Baltimore, I don't have a parish. First time in 40 years. So it's, I have to go begging in places to celebrate Mass. And so thank you, Father Jim. There. And with him, Father George, who's here at Power. Now, deacons, part of Christ, Deacon Kevin Ewing, the short time Father Kevin, we hope to pray. Deacon Ron, Deacon Nick, and Ron, Deacon Dolby, and all of the worshipers here at St. John the Evangelist. How many families and friends have had to do what Joseph and Nicodemus had to do? Bury a loved one whose life ended by violence. It's especially the lot of Christians to suffer such injustices. And simply for being Christians, think of the scores of Coptic Christians who died last Sunday, Palm Sunday, while at Mass in their churches in Egypt. Such acts of violence against our people are commonplace today in many parts of the world. But really, it's always been so. St. Paul said once that we Christians make up in our bodies what is lacking in the sufferings of Christ. Think about that phrase. We make up in our bodies what is lacking in the sufferings of Christ. Now, what could be lacking in the sufferings of Christ? Nothing in terms of the value of his sacrifice. It is infinite and eternal. But much is lacking in terms of its extension throughout the world and through history. His crucifixion continues through the ages in the lives of his disciples. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? That was what the risen Jesus asked the future St. Paul when Saul was on his way to arrest Jewish Christians in Damascus. The Lord identifies with his people who suffer on his behalf. So we should not be surprised when we are mistreated or made fun of or taken advantage of because we are Christians. It happened to the Master, it will happen to his disciples. But why was Jesus made to suffer? Because he spoke the truth and he acted on that truth. I came into the world to testify to the truth, he said to Pontius Pilate, and everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice. We often treat very poorly those who speak the truth among us. I was a college student when Martin Luther King was assassinated, a man who spoke the truth to the people of this country. We all know that assassins tried to kill Pope John Paul II, who spoke the truth, not only to Catholics, but to the whole world, about justice and peace, harmony among us. What truth was Jesus speaking about? What is the truth that got him into such trouble? He said in the same Gospel of John, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. The truth is that Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son, is the way to that fullness of life God wants for us. A life of love and goodness now, which prepares us for the joy of unending life in heaven. Well, who would not welcome that message? Who would not want to hear that truth? The truth that such a way to life, such a life, eternal life, was now open to us. Who would reject that? I'll tell you who. People who fear the truth, because they would have to change their attitude and their behavior. That's who doesn't want that to hear that truth. And it challenges how you're thinking and how you're living. The high priests believe they will lose their authority if they accept what Jesus taught as truth. He wasn't here to take away their authority, but they thought he was. Pontius Pilate, he would have to change his way of relating to the Jews whom he was governing. He was a violent man. He crucified many Jews. We just heard, he didn't always exemplify the best of Roman justice. So their way of oppression and violence was a false path to life. But they didn't see it. Many today don't see it either. Abortion, same-sex marriage, assisted suicide, capital punishment, widespread drug use, racism, nativism, it's a longer list. These behaviors do not lead to life, but away from it. They are false ways, not the true way. Now we must certainly be careful about judging others. The Lord said that. We certainly can't judge the Jews of today by what some Jewish leaders did 2,000 years ago to Jesus or to his followers. There's no place in our faith for anti-Semitism. Nor can we be sure, really, what was going on in Pilate's mind, or in the minds of those who think and act today in ways that really will cause them harm and cause others harm. Because we ultimate judgments about people to God. Even as we embrace the truth proclaimed by Jesus and make him our way of to the life, the right kind of life in this world and in the next. Now you must have noticed in the account of Jesus' passion in St. John how often he referred to scripture being fulfilled during Jesus' passion and death. John is telling us it was the Father's will that his son suffer and die. Now what kind of father is that? What kind of father wants his son to suffer and die? One who says, son, do whatever you have to do to save them. Do whatever you have to do to save them. For what to save us from our sins and death, the ultimate consequence of them, that the Son of God came into this world. And his death was necessary because we were so bad. Isaiah, the first reading tonight, tried to help the people understand this. When he said of God's servant, he was pierced for our offenses, crushed for our sins. Upon him was the chastisement that makes us whole. By his stripes, we were healed. We had all gone astray, no exceptions. Pope, bishop, priest, deacons, lay, we're all gone astray, each following his own way, but the Lord laid on him, the Lord him his father, the Lord laid upon him the guilt of us all. The lies, the brutality, the cowardice we see in the Lord's passion have been multiplied millions of times in history. My friends, we truly need a Savior, and the Father gave us one in his Son. And so we call this day Good Friday, because as bad as it was for Jesus, it was very good for us. No greater love has anyone than this, than that he laid down his life for his friends. The soldier I read about threw himself on a hand grenade and died while saving the lives of his buddies from platoon. Jesus has saved us all from the punishment we deserve for our sins and from eternal death. He's also the perfect fulfillment of our humanity, combining innocence, as even Pilate recognized, with mercy toward those who wished him dead. Put your sword back in the scabbard, Peter. No vengeance, no revenge here. So the innocent one suffered for the guilty. The one treated without mercy shows it to his enemies. Will we hold fast to the truth and follow Jesus' way to the fullness of life for which God made us? Are we willing to speak the truth as Jesus did to the soldier who struck him when we are being treated unjustly? Are we willing to suffer patiently like the lamb led to the slaughter when that is necessary to be faithful to the Lord? The Lord Jesus not only saved us by his suffering and death, but gave us an example to follow. A woman I know was abandoned by her husband, leaving her to raise 5 children alone, while he went from one woman to another. She did not speak about him to her children with rancor, with bitterness, or to anyone else. I knew her for a number of years. When her husband finally got sick, she took him back in, and she and her children cared for him until he died. Now, some would say she was stupid. She wasn't standing up for herself as a woman. I say she was following Jesus' example of patient suffering and forgiveness of enemies. Her love triumphed over his sins. And that is what Jesus' love has done for us. His arms outstretched on the cross embrace us in love as he says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." His love has triumphed over our sins. Praise to you, Lord Jesus, for loving us so. Praise to you, our way, our truth, and our life. Teach us, Lord, your truth, that we may know, make you our way and reach that life beyond the limits of this one, where you dwell now in light and peace, and from which you will come back to take us home.